Mr. Christie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you. I'd like to reserve time for rebuttal. May it please the court, counsel, I represent the appellant.
Mr. Christie, how much time do you want for rebuttal?
2 minutes.
Thank you.
I represent the appellant on his direct appeal from his convictions after a jury trial held in Lancaster County District Court. First off, this case should be overturned for, I submit, a number of reasons. What I'd like to start with is the district court's decision to admit the notepads and memo books into evidence, exhibits 11 through 15. As I stated in my brief, it was error to admit exhibits 11 through 15 for several reasons. First off, those exhibits are inadmissible hearsay. They are not properly authenticated. Going to the inadmissible hearsay point, the officer went page by page providing his interpretation of the written assertions, ultimately concluding that exhibits were O notes. This is improper. Based upon the officer's testimony, it's obvious that the exhibits were offered for the truth of the matters asserted by the officer. Because if they are not received for the truth, then they actually have no relevance. You have to accept the declarant, the officer's interpretation of the written assertion as true.
Who created the exhibits 11 through 15?
We do not know.
Does that mean you also don't know who the declarant is?
Well,
with respect to those exhibits.
Well, I would assume that we don't know who the author of the exhibits are. So yes, if we're going to call that individual the declarant, I think as I outlined in my brief, the officer who is testifying about the written assertions is also, I think I put in my brief, is the declarant. So we don't know who authored the exhibits, but the declarant is testifying to another statement that was made outside of the court and telling the jury that his interpretations of that are true. And again, we do not know who authored these exhibits, and so that also goes to the next point, that they're not properly authenticated. No one was able to identify the author. There were no names, nicknames, anywhere throughout the exhibits.
Where were the exhibits found with respect to proximity to the defendant?
I would also submit that is somewhat unclear. At least I think four of the exhibits, I believe the officer testified they were found in the car somewhere. They
incident
had two officers.
To arrest?
I'm sorry?
Incident to arrest?
Yes. And there was at least another exhibit that was a calculator, and it's not, I think it was a calculator and a memo pad, and it's not really clear exactly where that was found, and I think that may have been found on the appellant's person, but I think it was not clear, and at least one of the officers testified that he's not sure exactly where it was found, but they located it at the time of the arrest. Appellant's name was nowhere on the exhibits. I think that's clear throughout the record. Signature.
How did the district court judge rule? What did the district court judge say about this?
Well, the district court judge ultimately said that they were not being offered the truth. And the district court provided a jury instruction that the exhibits are not being offered for the truth, however, they're being offered for the character and use of the location where they were found. That brings me to my next point.
I beg your pardon. So is there at some point there was an instruction? They're coming in for the purpose of the trial? Or was that a different limiting instruction?
Yes, that was a cautionary instruction. Mm-hmm. So when they were originally received...
What does that mean? they're being offered for the purpose of the trial. What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means, and I would submit that that was error.
You think that's an inadequate caution?
Yes, inadequate. And I would also submit that the jury has no guidance as to how they're to treat those exhibits when the court says, I'm receiving these not for the truth, but for the purposes of trial today.
So, was there any objection made at the time of the admonishment?
Yes.
To the content of the admonishment?
I believe that there was an objection to the exhibits being received. They were received over objection. I believe the record shows that they took a recess, and then the next day the court simply provided that cautionary instruction.
Was there an objection made at that time to the content of the admonishment?
I'm not sure, but the answer is probably no. The answer is probably no.
And was there an objection made to the content of the final instruction that was given by the court in the written jury instructions?
Yes.
On the basis of the content of that instruction?
I think that counsel said several things as to, articulate several different reasons as to the objections to the jury instruction number 8 that was provided. I think it, when you review the record and look at that, a lot of it does go to the content. I would submit that. Now, I believe that trial counsel specifically said that it was improper for the exhibits to receive in the first place, and therefore was objecting to instruction number 8.
So if the exhibits were not hearsay, and if there was adequate foundation laid, the instruction would be harmless, correct?
I'm sorry.
I laid two if clauses right on you, and I recognize you may not agree with the premises,
sure,
but if those exhibits were not hearsay, and if there was adequate foundation provided, then there would be no error in the instruction, correct?
No.
Well, how at most, the instruction would have, if it was not hearsay and it was admissible, in other words, there was foundation, the exhibits were properly received to begin with, the defendant received some advantage by having the jury told you can only use these for limited purposes.
Right, and the reason I said no is because the instruction then said that they are offered, or they are to be considered for the character and use of the location where they were found. And the character and use of where they were found has no relevance to the case.
But if they're generally admissible, period, and I agree again, you understand you may not accept that premise, but if that's the state of the law, how is there error in the jury instruction?
Maybe it is hard for me to follow because I don't agree with the premise, and I apologize for that. But I'm going back to I think it was improper to say the character and use of the location where they were found.
The state arguing at trial that the character and use of the vehicle was distribution of controlled substances?
No, that was not argued once. The only time that character and use was ever mentioned throughout the trial, character use of the location, was the jury instruction. Never mentioned in opening, arguing, any of the questioning by any of the witnesses by the state was never mentioned. And again, in closing arguments, I would submit that the state argued that they are, in fact, O notes. The state specifically pointed out specific entries in there and pointed out the interpretations that were provided by the officer, but never once told the jury you are considering this for the character and use of the pickup.
So let me see if I'm following you and trying to merge Justice Castle's hypothetical. I say it's good evidence. Everybody agrees it comes in, but nevertheless it
the jury instruction, the court adds an overlay to that, and that's your problem. Under that,
yes, I think that's good. That should come
that's
in.
Good, it's good evidence, but nevertheless, the court added
a bad
to it, and you're saying that's improper.
Yes.
How did it prejudice your client?
Well,
again, accepting my premise.
I'm submitting because it doesn't make sense to consider it for the character and use of its location, then they would have been considering it for an improper purpose. And the officer was allowed to go page by page and point out his specific interpretation.
But under my premise, it's admissible for all purposes.
And so then you're asking me then
how could there be prejudice if it's admissible, if it was not, if it never needed to be limited as to its admissibility, how could there be any prejudice to your client from the jury instruction that was given?
Maybe I'm not following exactly.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I may have used all my time in all of that. It's not my intention.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Wiss, good morning to you.
Good morning. Mr. Court, Nathan Wiss, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the Appalachian State of Nebraska. I'll also start with the notepads and the limiting instructions. If time permits, I'll additionally address the admission of the weight of the meth and the admission of the expert testimony. As far as the admission of the notepads, the state maintains that this evidence was properly admitted over the appellant's objections based on hearsay and authentication. There was sufficient authentication to establish that these notepads contained what appeared to be drug notes or O notes for drug transactions, and there was no hearsay violation because the notepads were not offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted. And the district court advised the jury, both orally and in writing, that they were not to consider those notepads for that purpose.
The purpose then was to, what, provide a lexicon to the jury?
The purpose of the instruction?
The purpose of the testimony with respect to the content was to give a vocabulary to the jury?
Well, my understanding was that the purpose of the testimony was to establish that these notepads were in fact O notes, or could be construed to be O notes, rather than just leaving that to the jury, whether or not the terms and things within the notepads could be considered, rather than to go it alone and make that determination.
And it was tied to this very case. It wasn't just a vocabulary lesson.
Right.
Thank you.
What did the admonishment that the trial court gave, what did that mean?
The initial oral admonishment. That one was that they are not received for the truth of the matter asserted, but for purposes of trial. I would agree with Mr. Christie. I'm not sure that I know what that means, Your Honor, and I can stand here with a straight face and say I agree with that, but first and foremost, there was no objection. As Justice Castle pointed out, there was no objection to that initial oral admonishment. Asked counsel if they had any problem with that. Defense counsel said no. And then I think more importantly, the subsequent instruction that was given, I think, is an appropriate instruction. There was no objection to that either, other than the fact that the defense renewed their objection to the evidence itself coming in. But there was no actual objection to the content of the instruction, which is what Justice Castle was getting at. So initially, I guess we would submit that hasn't been preserved for appeal, given that they didn't actually ever object on the basis that the instructions, either instruction, contained an incorrect statement of the law. But in any event, if this court concludes otherwise and finds that this issue is properly before us, we submit the claims without merit because the court's instructions, when read together, properly instructed the jury that they should not consider the notepads for the truth of the matter asserted.
Didn't the defendant, in fact, get more of an advantage with this the part of the final instruction that talked about character and use of the location?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, really, I guess, in listening to the prior discussion, I think the only conceivable way we go the other direction with that is if, say, it comes in, it's not hearsay, it's And then the court instructs the jury, you can consider this for any purpose, including truth of the matter asserted. That's, to me, about the only conceivable way that you get some, well, that wouldn't be a limiting instruction, but the court did do a subsequent instruction after the evidence is properly received. That's really the only conceivable way I see prejudice coming into the equation. Instructs them that they can, in fact, consider it for a purpose that they couldn't, despite its valid admission. And that didn't occur here. As far as the weight of the meth, we maintain it was properly admitted over the appellant's objections based on hearsay foundation and confrontation. A sufficient foundation under State v. Richardson, in our view, was a hearsay violation because the state's evidence regarding the accuracy and testing of those machines didn't involve an out-of-court statement. And there was no confrontation violation because the state's evidence was not testimonial based on Britt and Melendez Diaz. So there was no right of confrontation regarding that evidence. And briefly, as far as the state's expert testimony, we maintain this claim was also properly not preserved for appeal. The appellant did not object below on the basis that the expert's state's expert was not qualified as an expert or the proper procedures were not followed. But in any event, we submit, given this claim is properly preserved for appeal, that the state's expert testimony was properly admitted and that there is no particular process or procedure that has to be followed. Explained in Aguilar. As far as the remaining claims, the ineffective assistance of counsel, sufficiency of the evidence, and excessive sentence claims, I'll submit those. For those questions, the only brief point I would make on the sentences imposed is to acknowledge that my brief incorrectly states that these sentences, or the offenses in this case, occurred prior to LV 605. That's not true. After 605, I caught it, but as a matter of candor, I just wanted to acknowledge that and note that I have repeated the sentences in light of our current sentencing laws, and they do not run afoul of our sentencing laws and not otherwise invalid based on my review. So aside from that correction, I would maintain that there is an error in the sentence as opposed. If there are no further questions,
thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? No time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is